Aristotle, too. Squeaky wheels, rolling on a tacky floor. The book he wants. I know. I have heard him. He is afraid to ask for it. It is the cloud of unknowing. Yes, I know this book. That which is between you and your God is termed not a cloud of the air, but a cloud of unknowing. Yes. No one can think of God. God is paradox, all union by disunion. Providential, chancy, purposed, parenthetic. Ironic, absurd, and beautiful, wonderful, awful, horrible. He permits everything and anything. If he is love, as they will tell you, he will let you suffer and die with his knowledge. Yes, and with his foreknowledge. Yes, and by his will. Yes, and by his intent. Yes. Yes, he is beyond capacity to understand, but if one cannot understand him, how can one address him? How speak to him meaningfully? And how love him when you cannot understand him? And he will not respond in humankind. How love one who causes, permits, watches unresponsively our suffering and dying? Why love such unfeeling indifference? Is it in Middle English? Yes, he may have my copy. I'm leaving tomorrow. I do not want any of my books. Give them all to him. But tell him when I'm gone, the only requited love is that which he may give himself. The only pity is for pity's sake. The only hope for hope is hope against hope. Tell him that. Never mind. I will see you in group, yes? The television in the day room hangs high in the corner near the ceiling where no one can touch it and turn it off. The end of the world comes to the television. Remember what I say. It is a broadcast so everyone can see. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Strong men weep, women rent their gowns and wail, the small children cry, and the birds take wing, the fishes leap in the oceans that are boiling, the trees will thrash when the contrary winds shall altogether rise, the rivers run blood, the mountains crumble, and the towers shall plunge to the earth and smolder in their ruins.
Noises. Door softly clicking shut.
His clammy hands feel dead-like. Thank you, Father. The wheel makes the rounds of the room. The wheel sees the room spin. The spinning room sees the wheel unmoving. I hear them, gnawing at the baseboards. If I threw a book at the television, would it go through it? Sometimes a window is just a window. Sometimes. She has her chair turned away from the group already. She does not look at us when she speaks, or when we speak. She is poised at the edge of her seat beneath the television, looking up at it. It will rinse her with light, like light is liquid. The lush light bathes her. See how her hands with bloody fingernails are lifted into the flow, feeling how it pours, turning them in the gloried wet illumination, drenched in the flow of the lush liquid of the light, sparkling electrons, scintillating, splashing spectrums. She killed her child, you know.
Noise. Television. Distantly.
Last night, I dreamt I went to Manderley again. It seemed to me I stood by the iron gate leading to the drive. And for a while, I could not enter, for the way was barred to me. Then, like all dreamers, I was possessed of a sudden with supernatural powers and passed like a spirit through the barrier before me. The drive wound away in front of me, twisting and turning as it has always done. But as I advanced, I was aware that a change had come upon it. Nature had come into her own again, and little by little had encroached upon the drive with long, tenacious fingers. On and on wound the poor thread that had once been our drive. And finally, there was Manderley. Manderley, secretive and silent. Time could not mar the perfect symmetry of those walls. Moonlight can play odd tricks upon the fancy. And suddenly it seemed to me that light came from the windows. And then a cloud came upon the moon and hovered an instant like a dark hand before a face. The illusion went with it. I looked upon a desolate trail, with no whisper of the past about its staring walls. We can never go back to Manderley again, to Manderley again, to Manderley again, to Manderley again.
In my plain dress, I, alone and cold, withstood the seas, the seething seas, swept up the cliffs to reach for me. The claws of them claw at the hem of my dress. I run, running, running, running. I retreat. And in the dark sanctuary of the other woman, I find myself and her perfect bed unmanned, her tidy dressing table filled with luxuries not for me, and very well kept after all these years. He will not tell me why he shall. Why do the crows come now? Why are they looking at me that way? What beneath the darkness hides in there? Leave me alone. Go away. No, please, please. Mr. Staggerite, what are you doing? You leave her alone. No, 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 that's her book. That's her own book. You see now, you see what you've done.
Noise. A woman pathetically mewling.
Oh, that crazy man. That crazy, crazy man, how do they expect me to cope? Samuel, you need to ready things. The doctor will be coming. You get those chairs. Come here, darling. Yes, you keep your book. Mr. Staggeride, don't you make me... No, you leave that one by the television, Samuel. She's gone anyway. That's nice. He's such a nice man, that Mr. Smith is, to take a kindness to poor Mrs. Hart. He really likes her, I think. He really does. Why he's here, I wonder. Must be like everybody else, but he does not act like they do. Why can't she have been married to this nice man? How he takes a real interest in what she says. Though she says the same things every day, poor thing, cannot get over it. There is a certain cruel man and a certain needy woman that are drawn to each other, like beings that cannot exist without each other, but and still, they don't exist with each other, not without inflicting hurt on each other. Like hurting each other is the purpose of their being altogether. Samuel, you go get that boy out of his room now.
Noises. Loud door. Loud television.
On television I see clouds of smoke taken up into the air. I hear
unconfirmed reports that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. Sean, you saw what happened? I just witnessed a plane that hit directly into the middle of one of the towers. It was a jet, a large passenger commercial jet. It was teetering back and forth and crashed into maybe the 85th floor. The plane is embedded in the World Trade Center. The plane just came in low, flattened out, and hit at a slight angle. Is this a traffic area? It's not a normal flight pattern.
When he was taking a shower, my grandfather had a stroke and started eating the soap bar. And that is how my mother found him. But he said to her when he awakened that he remembered what had happened. He had been standing alone near his shack in the flatland, his pale wheat hissing in the sharp wind. The sky to the horizon was a sea of blackness. The earth to the horizon was a sea of roiling grasses under that shadow. The long grasses boiled. A funnel cloud came down out of the turmoil above him, reached down, reached out for him.
Can you hear any ambulances? Not right now. Windows shattered, steel sticking out of the building, clouds of smoke.
Lots and lots of smoke and clouds taken up into the air.
I can't see anything. Did you see what happened? A large explosion. It was inside, I think. Windows all blown out. I'm sure there were people there.
The crawl on the TV is eaten up as it goes into the CNN logo. It is 8:59 Eastern Standard Time. A plane crosses the horizon in the distance, beyond the smoldering tower.
Now we have lost contact. Our transmitter is on the World Trade Center. At this point, we have no injury updates. Now an eyewitness on the telephone. I was watching TV and I heard a sonic boom and the side of the World Trade Center blew out and debris was falling. Oh, a lot of fire engines. It's the Northern Tower, smoke pouring out of it. Debris continuing to flutter down like leaflets. It looks like the upper floors are on fire.
Noises. An electric hum.
I imagine them. When I cannot see the print of the book, when it swims out of focus with the cross currents of my mind, how they sat in a study like mine, like this one, in a cove of yellow light, warmly sheltering them, with a surrounding bookcase, holding back the cloudy emptiness of the unknown. I imagine them looking at each other, the older one and the younger one, the perfectly reasoning one and the perfectly feeling one, looking at each other. When the explosive report emitted near the ceiling, surprising them both. But which perfect reason should deny occurred? The young one said to the old one, "Did you hear that?" "I think you should leave," the old one said. And that is when the young one initiated his quest and went beyond the wall of books and into the realm of the unknown, into which the old man could not see the reason to go. I have read this so often that the book falls open to the place when I pick it up. I know what it means, but it makes no difference. I will not leave. Not now. Not ever. Knock, knock. "It is after 9 o'clock, Doctor." "Yes, thank you, Laura. Aromas," he said, "are the tongue of numinous speech. That is why the church washes its walls with incense, why the flower attracts us, why she reminds me of Christmas pies, or she is simply portal, purpose, person. Yes, I know what it means." The file of this myth. Police reports, too. I see no reason for them. Well, it is necessary, of course. But we should not keep them in the clinical files. Mr. Smith, found by his nephew's wife, his only relation who cared, and not truly a relation. Though even she had not visited him for 3.5 months since he lost his job. No reason for termination given. 58, unmarried. Supervisor in light industry, making molded styrofoam packaging parts. He did not understand, and no one would explain it to him. They treated him, he said, like he had done something unspeakably disgusting. He does not know why. He did not know why he was fired. It made his life frightening. The distress of this, the anxiety for his future, affected him less than the unbearable hours of nothing to do. I do not see why he should ever care why it happened. There are some things we do not know that do not matter. I think the unknown is just a space, not more important than what we know. What matters is the comfort that we feel where we are. But I only think this now, I suppose, because I am like the old one, more than the young one now. "Laura, where are my keys?" "In my coffee cup." "Oh, never mind. No, no, never mind. I think I hear these doors lock and unlock in my dreams."
Noises, locks, and doors.
I will sit. I will sit. You sit. You, I'm talking to you. Samuel, the doctor is coming down the hall. What the fuck are you doing there?
The whole building exploded again. People are running up the street. Second explosion. What was that? We're getting word. People are panicking.
Oh, lordy, lord, did you see? Oh, sweet Jesus. I am sitting. The doctor is coming. I sit. I am sitting. I'm sitting. Good morning, Mr. Staggerite. How are you today? I'm fine, doctor. No one is coming to group, doctor. I told them. I told them to sit. That's okay. Sit down. I see. Nurse?
Noises. Chairs. Scrabble.
I don't want to panic on the air. Let's not speculate. One of our producers said a second plane, maybe. We don't want to speculate. But you see, the second tower is now on fire, too. You can see that. The second explosion in the second tower. An eyewitness live on the phone. Where are you, sir? Uptown on 86th and Riverside. About a minute ago, a small plane came in banking low from the west, and it exploded when... Dr. J? Let me interrupt. Okay, I'm taking a look at the second plane. Just a few minutes ago, a passenger plane smashing into the World Trade Center. Oh, I don't know. These pictures are frightening indeed. Is some type of navigating equipment going awry? The two passenger planes would collide into the World Trade Center? Two? Within 18 minutes of one another? Dr. J, this is just frightening pictures. Now, let us go to WNYW. Two planes, each hitting one of the two towers. A plane deliberately crashed into the upper floors of each of the two towers. Some people said they thought they saw a missile. We have an eyewitness that it was a large plane, and we saw pictures that... Oh, this is a very hard thing to watch. Here is the tape replay. Incredible pictures. This happened just moments ago. What can you make of what you have seen? It's absolutely inexplicable. No, kind of a navigation failure? No. It definitely appeared that the second aircraft was heading into the tower. Can we replay the second plane again? Can you give me some idea of what is at play here? Here we go. Very hard to get a perspective. It looks to me like a passenger's jet. We don't know there are any passengers aboard that aircraft. It's absolutely unbelievable to think that a flight crew could not see these towers. I don't think that this represents any accident.
Turn off the television. Dr. Paris says, we don't need to see this. We don't need to see this.
Silence.